well as Andrew with the OtakuSpirit.com website. And today we're doing our part two of our 2019 anime season, or anime best of 2019 anime deliberations. I got it out. There we go. So, we're not really going to go through all the explanations of things because you should have listened to part one. If you didn't, then that's sad. So we're going to jump right into horror and psychological. This one's going to be another easy one, like the sci-fi mecha, because there's only, seven that I've even nominated into the list. So we have The Promised Neverland, Boogie Pop and Others, Magical Girl Spec Ops. We're kicking out Attack on Titan, so technically only six. Lord L. Malloy, Case Files, Grace Note, Grand Belm, and Babylon. So Babylon, for me, is probably number one, because that's just the best you can get for psychological horror. Promised Neverland, probably for two. Boogie Pop and Others. I'm just going straight into my list, because this is kind of easy. And that leaves Grand Belm, Lord L. Malloy, and Magical Girl Spec Ops for the last two. Lord L. Malloy wasn't... I mean, it did have, like, two or three episodes that involved a lot of kind of psychological horror. But not that heavy. So I almost want to give Spec Ops some credit. Because, I mean, like I said in my review of Spec Ops Asuka, it was like, the thing that kept me going with that show was how they portrayed PTSD, be it through, like, terrorist acts that just random schoolgirls were involved with, the PTSD of Asuka and all the other magical girls that had to go to battle against these different monsters and stuff, and the nightmares that she had of, like, the other magical girls that she worked alongside, like, melting in acid and being killed on the battlefield. So it does that really well, and that was the big draw that I had to it. So Grand Belm, it touches on psychological horror, but it doesn't dwell in it, which I guess is a positive to somebody like Chris. But for me, not enough kind of thing. So Babylon versus... I mean, because it's going to be more than Grace Note, Lord Nell Milway. So Magical Girl Spec Ops, Asuka, and then Grand Belm or... As much as I didn't like Grand Belm... technically was a stronger of the horror psychological. I'll go with that. Are you even going to bother? Did you watch any of these?
No, I pretty much dropped all of them.
Every single one of them. All right, so the only list we have is mine. So I'll go number five, Grand Belm. Number four, Magical Girl Spec Ops, Asuka, Boogie Pop, Phantom, or Boogie Pop and Others, The Promised Neverland, and Babylon as number one, so... All right, it's comedy. Welcome back, Chris.
You're right.
Welcome back, Chris, to hell, basically, because we have let me see. We have 37 comedies
there
to
you
choose
go.
From. This is a heavy comedy year, that's for sure. So I'm going to go right down the list, and Chris can make comments if he wants to, but Mob Psycho 100 Season 2... I've never found Mob Psycho's comedy that connecting to me, so it's nothing against people that think it's funny. I do love Reagan whenever he does funny stuff, though. Kaguya-sama, Love of War. I might as well just put that... I'm going to probably regret this, but I'm going to put that as number one right off the bat.
I did the same thing, so don't forget.
I'll probably go ahead and put Teasing Master Takagi-san Season 2 up there. The Quintessential Quintuplets wasn't hugely funny for me. I just like the harem aspects. Wata 10, it was adorable, but I don't remember that I laughed much watching that show. Rume as a Cat, didn't laugh much. It was cute. Mysteria Friends wasn't very funny. It was just more just cutesy, these two girls that like each other. How clumsy you are. You are Miss Ueno. I actually watched some clips of that again today, and I'm like, holy crap, this show. I swear, it's a mess. That time I got reincarnated as a slime, not its focus. One Punch Man season 2, again, not really. Even though it did better in season 2, wasn't its strong point. Wise Man's Grandchild, no. We Never Learned, I didn't watch it. Help of Fox Senko-san wasn't funny, it was just fluffy. Hitori Bochi's definitely up there. Isekai Quartet. Why the hell are you here, teacher? I'm going to leave that to Etchy. It wasn't really that. I mean, it had funny situational humor, but... Ao-chan Can't Study. Oh. I did get a kick out of her absolute messiness, just like Ueno, but it kind of had charm mixed with it. It wasn't necessarily fully funny.
I think that's where I'm going to go, because Hitori Bochi and Ao-chan are about the same for me, and both of them...
It's the same as Senryu Girl. It's also the one where it's more charm than anything.
Yeah,
but it didn't
one was more charm than those two, but those two at least had the offset of the humor, but I think Hitori Bochi is probably going to win out of the two.
And Senryu Girl, it caught me off guard several times. Like... I cannot tell you how much I laugh. We'll talk about it again later, but when the father meets the boy, I forget his name. I watched that. I played that back like 3 times because I just got a huge kick out of it. The girl with that draws her face expressions and how they took away the drawing thing, and then she holds up her arm to her face to give her, because she drew it on her hand, her arm. It was just goofy. I'm going to put that down here as a tentative. Senryu Girl.
Forgot about Cautious Hero.
Danmachi. It was more heavy in drama this season, or this year. How heavy are the dumbbells you lift? I didn't laugh much in that one, except for the Arnold Schwarzenegger wannabe. Do You Love Your Mom and Her Two Hit Target? Episode 1, that was it. Isekai Cheat Magician. Not really. Dizzy Master Takagi-san, I already have it in the list. If It Was For My Daughter, no. Hensuki. Hensuki's just a lot of fetish humor, and...
That was a hit and miss.
I want to say that I didn't... It was like a... It's like a smirk show. Like, you're watching, you're like, oh my gosh. Like, they just did that. It wasn't a laugh out loud, like I said, with Senryu Girl and the dad thing. It just totally made me laugh out loud. So I'm going to hold off on that one. Demon Lord Retry. I did get a kick out of the stupid butt jokes, even though at some points it got old. The girl thinking that he's obsessed with her butt. Cop Craft, not really. Wasteful Days of Hunt, didn't finish that one. Demon Girl Next Door. That was just really cute. I did laugh at certain points, though. Magical Senpai. Oh, crap. Oh. And Are You Lost? Cautious Hero. Sucks.
Which one was Are You Lost?
The stranded.
Oh, no. Oh, you suck.
Injecting the water?
Oh.
Oh my gosh! See that was like a bang 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 shorts when that happened. Magical Senpai and Are You Lost?
I already had Magical Senpai in there, but Are You Lost I forgot about.
Orisuki, like I mentioned, I didn't find that funny, even though I do know it's humor and people do find it funny.
I did find it funny. I didn't finish it, even though I wanted to.
High School Prodigies, not its focus. Kimono Michi did not make me laugh much, except for like the few times with like the suplex and the princess and the cobalt wife that walked by that he flirted with. Didn't I Say to Make My Abilities Average in the Next Life?
More cute.
It's cute. Not really much funny. Laugh out loud funny. And then Nolan Petta and Dr. Stone's not really their strong suit, so. Oh, null and petted. Cute and had a cool twist at the end. Oh, so I thought this was going to be easy, and now I'm down. I have 9. Kaguya-sama's not moving. Teasing Master Takagi-san's not moving. Ueno's not moving. Hidori Bochi's not moving. Isekai Quartet's not moving. Something has to move, Andrew. I'm not doing Senra Girl. So I can get rid of that one. So I'm down to 3. I have to fit in Magical Senpai, Are You Lost, and Cautious Hero. So Cautious Hero was not funny as the rest of those on that list. That's easy to say. Are You Lost? I laughed way too much. Magical Senpai, it was like a 80 to 90% for me. I laughed. I don't know. I just don't think anything's going to beat what I have in my 5 right now. I can probably, I don't want to do it, but I can probably drop Isekai Quartet for something else. Because my issue that I have with Isekai Quartet is that there was a certain Isekai like Tanya the Evil that shouldn't have been in there. And I don't think it really let itself get crazy. Oh. I think back on it and I can't think of myself laughing out loud that much with Isekai Quartet, as much as I enjoyed it.
See, where I'm landing is Hitori Bochi is just adorable. And same thing with Ao-chan and Senryu Girl. They're all three of those are just super adorable, and they rely very heavily on their awkwardness for their humor, which is not a bad thing. It's just when you're talking about just absolute absurdity like Ueno or Magical Senpai, that's where they kind of shine. But at the same time, I enjoyed those a lot more than I enjoyed Are You Lost or Cautious Hero. That's where I land.
I'm trying to think of what I laughed more with. Was Magical Senpai or Are You Lost? I think Magical Senpai was Magical more consistent. Senpai.
Yeah.
But Are You Lost had the biggest laughs out of me because they were just absurd when it happened. Most of the time, it was kind of more just kind of chuckling at the idea that they're trying to survive and doing like the most outrageous stuff.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with Cautious Hero.
I think I'm going to put Magical Senpai over Are You Lost.
Yeah, that's where I'm going with the exact same thing with Kaguya-sama versus Teasing Master. I love Teasing Master Takagi. However, I laughed a lot more.
But Teasing Master has more of a
cute. Yeah, that's the same thing with Hitori Bochi for me. I'm weighing it against.
That said, I know this is going to probably make you angry, but for comedy, I would tell somebody to watch Ueno over Takagi because Takagi is cute.
Yeah,
over.
I guess that I can't argue with that. That's the same thing that I was talking about earlier. But then that would put it below Magical Senpai because I laughed a lot more consistently than.
Yeah, that's true. You're giving me a case for dropping them even more.
That's the problem. I mean,
they are not moving it no more. I'm not moving things anymore. I think I laughed.
No, I am not giving Cautious Hero over Takagi-san. No way.
I don't know what you're doing over there. I didn't even put Cautious Hero on my list.
Well, technically,
I mean, I loved it.
That was what I was talking about with Hitori Bochi. Technically, I laughed, and I laughed a lot more with Cautious Hero over Hitori Bochi. I love Hitori Bochi because it was adorable.
Cautious Hero just had too much of a. It had a lull after the first couple episodes, and it picked up later on, so it wasn't consistent enough for me. But I do agree it's more of a comedy. I don't know. I'm done.
I'm not saying take Hitori Bochi off your list. I'm just explaining
about Hitori Bochi. It's more Teasing Master Takagi-san. I don't know. I had a lot of laugh out louds with Teasing Master, though. I don't know. I'm leaving it. I'm good.
You already made me knock Takagi down a lot more than I wanted to. So
we're even except for Hitori and Cautious. So that makes sense. All right, my list, starting with 5, is Teasing Master Takagi-san Season 2. Was absolutely adorable and funny at the same time. Just different moments, like the whole hiding away and behind the barrels when the other couple came up and jumping out and screaming that they don't... They were just playing hide-and-seek, and she's like, yeah, sure. Hattori Bocchi, it's just absolutely adorable and funny at the same time. I got a kick out of every time she would send him a text when she's sick or something and reintroduce herself to her friends because she thinks that they forgot her. The whole tapping on the shoulder and her going, like, who is that? And running off. Magical Senpai, really, really funny. Very etchy and very pervy at times, but I just got a kick out of her and her pets. She names her pets, like, Bahamut and stuff like that. How Clumsy You Are, Miss Ueno, was just, from beginning to end, was absolutely hilarious. Now, you got to take into consideration that is a show that is kind of playing off of the innocence of these characters who are kind of young, but technically thirsty. Lack of a better term. And then Kaguya-sama, Love Is War, it's a contender for best of the year. And it was way too funny. And I cannot wait for season 2 of it.
On my number 5, I've got Cautious Hero. And that, I can't explain enough how much absurdity was in that show. Just from the training montages to the goofy...
Breaking gods and goddesses.
Yeah.
Breaking them mentally.
There was just so much just pure absurdity. I loved the way they played it all off and how it all came together at the end. Even the absurdity of their quote-unquote twist at the end. It was just a masterful show. I loved it. Then we go into Takagi-san for my number 4.
The absurdity of the twist? It was depressing as hell.
Yes, it was... I agree that's not what I was talking about, but it was more the other things around the twist, not necessarily what was in the twist. That was absolutely wrong.
Again, there's another thing that, and I'm trying to talk myself away from that, but that's another thing. It's like, can you have something that depressing in a comedy? That was so weird about them, as they did that with that show. It was like out of nowhere. Like I said, with the first person they run into, she starts executing villagers in the middle of the town. It's like, wait, why is this so dark?
My number 3 is Magical Senpai. My number 4, or my number 2 is How Clumsy You Are, Ueno-san. And of course, like Andrew said, Kaguya-sama, easily one of the greatest comedies of this year.
So the top 3 is easy. 4 is easy because it's on both of our lists. So it comes down to Hattori Bocchi versus Cautious Hero.
You technically have Hattori Bocchi higher, so.
And that was all a part of my plan. I purposely put that.
I disagree on that one, but we'll go with it.
Oh.
It's still adorable. I love it, so.
So it comes down to number 5 is Hattori Bocchi. Number 4 is Teasing Master Takagi-san Season 2. 3 is Magical Senpai. 2 is How Clumsy You Are, Miss Ueno. And number 1 is Kaguya-sama, Love Is War. Those are all shows you guys should be watching.
Plus, if it doesn't tell you anything, that we have, like, nearly the entire list is the same. So that says a lot to me.
Yeah. And again, all the ones that we're kind of fighting over, if we're going to drop off our list, are all good, too. Are You Lost? Should be watched. That was just nuts. Oh, gosh. We'll talk about it again later. Harem is our next category. Harem's not that many, surprisingly, but some strong ones, I think. So let's see. We have Day Day Live Season 3. See, it's funny because Day Day Live, specifically Season 3. Now, we're talking about when the arrival of the wizard that ends up putting them into a game of trying to figure out who was the mole, basically. Who in the harem was the mole? The placement of the mole. And so it's kind of a nice thing. Like I mentioned in the review, it's like, this was such the coolest thing to put in a harem. Think about the fact that a harem, typically people that enjoy harems, they have like, they like the girls in the harem and they, you know, of course they have a best girl or whatever, but the brilliance of a writer to force people who love that harem to have to notice when the characters they love are not normal, they're doing something different. was a cool concept. I don't know if that's what they were going for, but that's what I got out of it, and I thought it was really cool. And then the later parts of it wasn't so much harem-y. It was so focused on one of the characters and kind of throwing a huge kind of conflict into it. So it wasn't the most harem-y feeling season, but it did have a cool mechanic to put into a harem. So I'm kind of mixed on that. Quintessential Quintuplets is probably my favorite harem that I've watched recently, like pure harem.
And that was this year?
Which one?
Because that had...
Day of Life Season 3 was this year.
Bokoben was this year, and I remember when I was reviewing it, it was in the same season.
Yeah, you had Bokoben Season 1 this year.
Okay.
You did it split by two seasons. So winter and then fall was Bokoben. Domestic Girlfriend, there was three girls, but one of them was like one episode, and then she disappeared. So I don't know that I would necessarily...
Yeah, that one.
Put the Hamlet Sword Online courses out. We never learned. I didn't finish it. Is it wrong to pick up girls in dungeon? Add a new harem member. But, I mean, they had a couple episodes that were very harem heavy. So I'm going to put up
for that one at 50 episodes yet?
If you count Sword Oratoria, you're getting up to 36. Because I think each season has been 12 episodes, isn't it?
Yeah, you might be right.
I think each core has been 12.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Maybe the first season was 25. Let's see. So, first season is 25. Second season, Sword Oratoria, I think was 12. And then this one would be 12 also. So 25.
And yes, I would count Sword Oratoria
37. As part
of it, but even if you want to call it a split.
49, just under. But no, I wouldn't call, I don't know. Yeah, you can count Sword Oratoria. If you're looking for a reason to disqualify it, technically was if you added the OVAs.
I would get mad. Everybody would be mad at
me. Right? Okay. Chris, keep your mouth shut. Keep your mouth shut.
Since I can't do math right now, I'm just going to do this. 51. Was Sword Oratoria 12 episodes?
Yeah.
Sir?
I'm almost positive.
It was kind of a blur for me because I didn't like that season at all.
It was just the other side.
Yeah. I did like expanding on that story, yes, but it is 12 episodes. We have officially reached 51, so technically Sword Oratoria would be disqualified. Did we put it as winners anything else? I don't think it won anything else, did it?
No.
Oh, there you go. Sorry, people. Chris said so. It wasn't my choice. So, Hinsuki...
Not that it really much matters. There's not that many shows in this
totally
list.
Going in there. Cautious Hero? No. Orisuki? Shoot, I don't have much to work with now.
That's what I was saying. Is it? It's technically a really, really small list. I'm not giving.
I only put Cautious Hero in there because you technically have all the goddesses, except for one really wants him.
Yeah.
a god does not want him. The goddesses want him. Like, every single goddess wants him.
I'm not going with it mostly because of the fact that they weren't.
There was only like maybe 10 minutes worth of that entire show where they played off of a harem aspect.
It absolutely was not the driving force of the show. And see, Day-Day Live is kind of frustrating for me. Because that one is just such a well-known. But technically it's not. That's only at 36.
Is it 12-week season?
Yeah. They never give us no love on Day-Day Live.
It's gotten three seasons. Most shows don't get more than one. Shush it. So yeah, I only have three, and that's all I can do. I can't give them anything else. The other ones I don't feel very harem-y, and two of them are outed. Oh, wait.
I mean, we could throw...
Why didn't I put Alpharetta in there? Yeah, Alpharetta is going to be in the list. I'll put...
That wasn't very much a harem, though.
Totally wasn't
harem. Oh, yeah, it did. Give me a break. I take that back. You're right.
It took time to build it up, but it was
did,
a harem.
It did, yeah.
It kind of took a little... I mean, it had four episodes of, like, just him trying to crawl out from a dungeon. But then after that, it turned into a harem.
I mean, we can toss in... give Dungeon one more last year, and because by the time they come around the next time, they're not going to be in there no more.
So I got five. Yay! I have five.
You're going to be mad.
Why? You're not putting Hinsuki at the top? Oh, because you're throwing a wrench in here. Which I understand. I haven't watched it, and
that
I do want to watch it.
That one I think I'm actually going to say you may want to watch.
You had fun, even after our review of We Never Learned, Bokuben Season 2, where he spent probably half his review going, now I remember back in the first season I was telling Andrew that he might want to watch it for some certain thing. And it was like this like 10-minute vagueness that I don't even understand what he's talking about. And I'm sure nobody listening understands what he's talking about. Maybe there's somebody out there that listened to his first season, and so they're like, yeah, I get what you're talking about, Chris. And yeah, that could be true. Anyways, you don't even... Oh, you have Hinsuki in there. I was like, I thought you watched that. So I have number five is It Wrong to Pick a Girls in Dungeon? Like I said, we're giving it one last go, even though it did technically hit, if you count OVAs, the 50 mark. I think it's the lowest on my list because I don't have anything else to put there, and it only had maybe two solid episodes of Harami. So I'm putting it at that point. Day Alive Season 3. Like I said, that whole first kind of arc, which we had our frustrations with how long it went, it was a really cool mechanic or idea to throw into the mix of harem. Because as I mentioned in review, you technically can spot the fault. You can spot the mole. And I actually called it. And I was so happy when I'm like, cool, I noticed it. And it actually turned out that. So I thought that was fantastic for a harem, and I wish more would do that kind of mechanic of, like, do you really know your harem member? Aphoretta, like I mentioned before, it took a while to build it up, but once it got to there, it was just full-on harem, and it was kind of funny in certain regards. And the Quintessential Quintuplets, like I said, it's been the first full-on harem that I've watched in a long time recently that I actually did enjoy, besides Hinsuki, which is my number one, and that one was... It was very fetishy, but I really did enjoy a lot of the characters in it, and would actually like to see more of it. So, your thing?
I'm not happy because I really want to put.
Are we ever happy with any of these lists?
I know, right?
Except for the mecha one and the horror one, because those were quick.
I almost want to put Aphoretta over Danmachi this time around. Yeah, I think I will. I think that's going to be my last fix on this one. Just because, like Andrew said, that it does... Like Andrew was mentioning earlier, because at first I didn't even think of the harem aspect, but that harem aspect became very, very forefront towards the latter episodes. And it was something that, like Andrew was saying, it does take a minute to build up.
I mean, you had the My First Baby thrown in there. You had the fighting wives, you had the concubine character. I mean, you had all the different types of harem members. Cool with it, the one that's not cool with it.
And it was more of a forefront than it is in technically in Danmachi. Danmachi is in the forefront a lot, but the drama points were becoming more of the front, and you'll see why. I mean, I do have We Never Learn up at the top of my list, which is technically the only reason why my list is one more than Andrew's. So Aphoretta, I agree. I think it needs to be in here. Day Day Life, like Andrew was saying, there's some really great, that one's just a through and through harem. So it's almost evil to take it off the list. Hinsuki, I absolutely loved the way they played out all of the weird aspects to this one. Plus, it is a strong harem all around. We have Quintessential Quintuplets. I agree with Andrew. Great drama points. This is more of a serious harem than the comedy harem, even though it does have comedy points. And I have We Never Learn. I cannot say enough some of the character moments in
season
this
one
show,
or season
so,
two,
but both.
He just included them both in the one. Otherwise, he's like number one is we never learn. Number two is we never learn. Season two. that would make combining those very difficult. So I appreciate that.
And plus, on the upside, I do have technically a conclusion with this one that I didn't have in Quintessential Quintuplets.
So. Well, season two's coming up. You can't.
Well,
be mean
if
to it like
if
that.
I had went with the Quintessential Quintuplets as if there wasn't the second season of We Never Learn, I technically Quintessential Quintuplets would have easily won over the two of them. But unfortunately. That's the thing with seasons, unfortunately.
This is going to be pretty nasty. You know that, right? Well, Hinsuki's got to go number one because I got it number one. You have it number three. Even though you haven't, we never learned in your number one, I have in Hinsuki in my number one. So, wow. My scrolling just flew by. I don't know where that happened there. Agree, disagree? You are the one that has watched We Never Learn. But I am making a point that technically it's on both lists and it's in my number one.
I don't know that you would agree if you had actually watched We Never Learn. But at the same time, I don't know how you would have felt about it because...
I guess to fight against my own choice, Hinsuki, the whole concept is there's, what was it, four girls, and he's trying to figure out which one left the note for him. And, but technically, it's one of those things where it's a fetish thing, so it's not necessarily a, well, I guess technically they are after him. So it's not, it doesn't matter why they're after him. And I hated one of, well, I didn't hate one of them, but one of them was just Fujoshi stuff, so, I don't know. If you say so, I'm going to leave it to your decision. This is your choice.
I really have to stand on We Never Learn. I mean, I would give it if you were to put Quintessential Quintuplets, but Hinsuki, I unfortunately do think that is the weaker of the two.
I think we have to flip a coin on Day Day Live and Everetta because it's technically the math on their placement is even. Do you want to do it? Let's do a random.org. Or do you want to fight on which one?
No, I'd give it to Feretta. I mean, impartial. I think that... I think,
I'm fine with either one being up there, honestly.
Yeah, because I think they're both around equal. Honestly.
Oops. What is that? Kick out? Is it wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Danmachi. Yeah, it just kicks out Danmachi. I'm fine with that. It was 52. We'll just go back to saying it was 51 anyways. So we have number five is Day Day Live Season 3. Number four is Alpharetta, From Commonplace to World Strongest. Number three, The Quintessential Quintuplets. Number two, Hinsuki. And number one, We Never Learn, Bokubin. The show that Andrew will eventually get time to watch, I guess. Moving on to Ecchi. The category you'll never see in anybody else's list. So savor it, I guess. Unless you hate Ecchi, then just, I guess, skip forward. Oh, let's see here. Now, this is a struggle because there's a difference between Ecchi and Ecchi being at the forefront or Ecchi just being something that's just kind of thrown in there, I guess, is a good way to put it. And it's going to be hard to remember the earlier shows. Like, I can't remember much of Day Day Live having Ecchi in it this season.
Not really.
I think that was one of my issues with it. Well, not, I guess it wasn't one of the issue of it, but I don't think it really necessarily ever was a heavy Ecchi series to begin with. Yeah, I don't think it was a very heavy Ecchi show to begin with, was it?
Not really. It was there, but it wasn't. It was usually more Lucky Letcher stuff more than anything.
I think Quintessential Quintuplets maybe had like one scene of anything Ecchi, and that's when he ran into the girl, the tsundere girl, when he went back to the apartment. Magical Spec Ops. It wasn't what I was going for. And it really wasn't that much there. It's more just tantalizing than anything. Mysteria Friends wasn't really there. Wise Man, not really there. We Never Learn. I don't know.
No.
Why the hell are you here, teacher? Yes. Yes.
Yes.
That went right straight to the top Miru of my tights. List.
Miru tights, yes. I'm not going to fight for Ao Chun. I mean, it technically wasn't there because the big focus on it was written by a female, and we made a point to point out the fact that it felt very kind of pervy, but it never crossed the line into perversion because it felt like the writer, it was a female writer, and so I think the perviness was a little bit more than what a male would want out of that situation. We had one scene at the very beginning with her shirt being open, and that was pretty much it. The rest of it was kind of just her mind getting really wild, mm-hmm. and her thinking about things, but not really showing anything.
Right.
So it was very verbal, but it wasn't very visual, I guess is the point to make.
That was what I was trying to say. It was there, it just wasn't the kind that you're talking about when you're talking about ecchi.
Yeah. Danmachi wasn't there. Afureta, it was there.
It was?
Yeah.
You remember better than me.
Dude, Rabbit Girl was all over the place with the ecchi. Then you had a dragon that loved to be poked by a big rod. Yeah,
okay, you're right. I got you.
Not as heavy
as most. It wasn't.
We'll see. Dumbbells you lift.
That one is another one where it's like, yeah, it's a lot technically there, it wasn't, but it wasn't what I would classify as ecchi.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. It's like the ecchi you get with dumbbells you lift is really just whenever they would have like a, let's show this exercise, this is the part that it works out. And they would show a girl kind of laying there and it would get a close up of a certain part of the body. You get more out of like just manga.
Well, it's a matter of okay. If you have watched, if you put the two next to each other, why the hell are you here, teacher? And then watch it, how heavy is the dumbbells you reach, and then you're gonna see the difference in what we're talking about. What is an ecchi versus? Yeah, it's technically there.
Do you live in a moment or two?
Yes,
Her clothes
melted so much
in one episode.
Several episodes. No, hey, she was constantly losing her clothes.
One episode. That was something I pointed out, was that it was heavy on the ecchi early on, especially with that acid spray that she got, the slam that ate her clothes. And then it never really was much after that. We had her in a bathing suit, and that was it. It wasn't very ecchi. There was you name any other scene besides those two.
Yeah, I remember her clothes melting off at some point in the latter episodes. I really do.
If you can point it out to me, I will change my mind.
You're talking about 12 episodes, Andrew.
So three scenes then. Three scenes out of 12 episodes.
At least three times. I remember a slime, and then I remember an acid scene later.
The slime was the acid seed you're thinking about.
No, there was a slime episode at one point.
That's not enough for me, though. That's literally two times.
But it seemed like her clothes were coming off all the time.
That show, and that was one of the disappointments I had.
Because he was always looking away from her and constantly. Yeah,
because she was wanting to dress up in a school outfit. She wanted to dress up in a maid outfit. And that was what was bothering him. Getting in a swimsuit outfit, that's what bothered him. It wasn't anything really else. It was her grabbing him and squishing up against him.
I'll go ahead and I will go ahead and concede that it's probably not as ecchi as I was originally thinking, but it does seem like it was very, she was constantly.
So I'm throwing Magical Senpai up there. I'm skipping on Kimetsu no Yaiba, Are You Lost, Demon Girl Next Door, Cop Craft.
Yeah, Are You Lost, I don't think is technically, yes, there is.
I mean, they're constantly in their underwear, yeah, but it wasn't constantly really, in their it wasn't tantalizing.
Yeah, it wasn't like that.
It wasn't sexual. It was just kind of they were there and they don't really have anything else to wear. It was, we need to go fishing, and so what are we going to wear? Obviously, so. Sekai Cheat Magician, no. I think that's it. Cop Craft, I'm not really, I mean, I wouldn't even call the episode where she got switched out for the cat that really ecchi. It was just, yeah, it was a little pervy, but that was about it.
Are you putting Hinsuki in there? See, and that one's weird for me because I probably would lean more towards the same thing that you're saying with Mama is yeah, they were talking about stuff like that, but it wasn't per se in your face.
But no, that was one of those shows where you constantly had, like, for some reason, the girl that's like, she's laying there reading the yaoi book, and her panties are just right there. It was one of those ones where it's just kind of out there. They're turning a corner and you would see it kind of flash. It was a lot of panty flash kind of stuff. And then you had, of course, the dog girl that wants to, you know, open up her shirt and put a collar on for him kind of stuff.
All right. Yeah.
A lot of fetishes in there that would constitute having those situations put in there. So, yeah, it wasn't as heavy as past ecchi shows. So I guess that the point is really is, besides Why the Hell You Here, Mirror Tights, and maybe partially Magical Senpai, not a heavy ecchi year in general. So I guess it's me backtracking what I said earlier. Nothing was focused on it. So I guess that's the answer to everybody's prayer that we get rid of all this ecchi stuff, but it's still technically there. So focusing purely ecchi. Purely ecchi. Why the Hell Are You Here, Teacher? Would go at the top. Mirror Tights. And last three is going to be a struggle. Hinsuki. Magical Senpai. And I guess Alpharetta? I don't know. I think I'm going to stick with that. Yeah, I think that's good. Mirror Tights is a struggle because it's like, there wasn't really much that show whatsoever. Literally, what was it like? Was it 4 or 5 minute episodes? But that's all it was. Its first to end was nothing but ecchi. There was nothing else. There was no other point to that show whatsoever. Are you even trying? Oh, yeah, you have a list. You gonna make it?
Oh, damn it.
You good? You good?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay. My number five for ecchi is Alpharetta from Commonplace to World's Strongest. Like I said, that one's probably easily the weakest out of this entire list because it was more action and silly comedy kind of mixed in there with kind of this it happened kind of ecchi stuff. So Magical Senpai is number four. She's a hot mess and she doesn't realize what she's doing. And she constantly gets herself in situations in her magic tricks that just shows herself off to the boy, and she doesn't even know, which is kind of questionable, but she's a little bit airheaded. Hinsuki, again, that's just a harem silly comedy with, you know, situations kind of popping up here and there with the ecchi. It really does kind of just let the ecchi happen rather than try to go out of its way to find it. Mirror Tights, like I said, it's just nothing. It's basically a fetish for people that like tights. It's all it is. There really isn't much there because it's a short. I mean, they had like one girl trying to just taking pictures of herself for her little Twitter or Instagram, whatever social media account to show off her body. And each one of the girls has different tights. That's all the focus is that fetish. And Why the Hell Are You Here, Teacher is my number one, and because that's just straight up ecchi comedy. It's just this guy getting in the most inappropriate situations with teachers. Well, different guys. Inappropriate situations with our teacher.
Four guys, four teachers.
I think that was five. Either four or five.
I think it was four because it was three episodes each.
There was the first guy, the sports teacher. The short teacher was the short teacher wasn't there a shy one too?
There was a shy one with the big guy because she was always being protected by him. There was the kudari teacher, and then there was the active teacher.
I don't know why I'm looking
and then the military teacher.
Military teacher.
The first one was the military teacher. She was some kind of assassin or something. I don't know.
What the hell are you talking about?
They were talking about her being the killer teacher or something like that. They were afraid of her.
It wasn't that she was in the military.
They were on and on about how militaristic she was or something like that.
Yeah, four teachers. So, but yeah, that was a lot of fun though. I was actually surprised. It wasn't that there was much to it, but it was just kind of very over the top. How the hell did that happen? Like, they're in the washroom and somehow they end up with other clothes off and she's on top of them and you're like, wow, how did this get this direction? But anyways, yeah. Very Lucky Letcher kind of stuff. So your list.
I'm not happy with my list, as we always say. So it's actually really kind of funny. I'm kind of taking Andrew's word on the Suki. I don't remember it being as etchy as that. And at the same time, Andrew is saying that the mama is not as etchy as I think it is. So I wonder if it's one of those things where you kind of not necessarily block it out, but kind of it's more prevalent to one person versus another person. So I've got number five as Mama San, the Do You Love Your Mom and her two-hit multi-target attacks. I got number four is Hensuki. Number three is Magical Senpai. Like Andrew was saying, it's just an adorable mess that, you know, and I love how they play all that stuff. Meter Tights and Why the Hell Are You Here, Teacher? Like Andrew said, that is the definition for me of ecchi. It's absolutely...
I don't even think that ecchi is... Let me see if ecchi is even in anybody's database. But, I mean, the problem is... I mean, besides the bunny girl jumping all over the place and the vampire girl sleeping with him... I mean, technically, we don't really see much because it's on television. I do know that they imply a lot of things with him and the vampire... But what we visually see in Aphoretta is really kind of kept to, like, the bunny girl jumping around and yeah, the perversion of the one dragon girl. But there's technically equally as much content in both that one and two-hit combos of ecchi. Like I said, my argument is that two-hit combos started out very ecchi, but it never really played on it much in the later parts. It was so focused on... climbing this tower and stopping this one girl that, yeah, she technically falls over and you get butt shots and stuff like that. But again, you're not really seeing any kind of, you know, underclothing or anything like that. So I'm fine either way with Aphoretta or Do You Love Her Mom and her two hit combo, multi-attack, super dover poweredness show. let's see.
I don't know. I'd flip a coin.
Flip a coin on that one.
I'm more into Mama as the two, obviously, because I put that on there and not Aphoretta at all.
Aphoretta, one, two is girl. Do You Love Your Mama or two-hit combo attacks? So we have number five for ecchi for the combined list is Do You Love Your Mama or two-hit multi-target attack. Hensuki, Magical Senpai, Mirror Tights, and Why the Hell Are You Here, Teacher? I like that list. So it's fine. That works. All right, moving on, we have Slice of Life. This will probably be a pain in the butt one. But we'll see. I say that beforehand because that means that it won't be a pain in the butt. It's what, reverse psychology, I guess? All right, starting things out, we got Quintessential Quintuplets, The Best a Girlfriend. It's high drama, but could be. My roommate is a cat. A cat. Run with the Wind. That show is probably, it's funny enough, it's probably more slice of life than actual sport. Heavy focus on the characters and their lives, so... put it up here tentatively with the Wind. Hinamaru Suma, no. High Score Girl. Extra Stage. I can't wait till season 2 comes out. That sucks because High Score Girl season 2 is technically 2019, but we can't watch it yet because it was in fall and Netflix has it. Helpful Socks, Senko-san, wasn't that, again, just a lot of fluff wafu. Itori Bochi,
maybe. Cinro Girl, maybe. If it's for my daughter, I do defeat Demon Lord. I didn't watch that one. Omaidens or Savage Season. Again, heavy drama, but I guess you can technically put that in the realm of Slice of Life, too. Hensuki, no. Fruit Basket, I guess? Orisuki, no. Sentence of Bookworm. I mean, you made an argument for it. And Stars Align, not fighting for that one.
I don't know. This one's going to be difficult. Not more difficult than I was hoping it would be.
Did you end up with the same amount as I have? I have 7? Yep, you ended up with 7 too.
Yeah, but I'm not even happy with the ones that I've got.
See, High Score Girl is probably the most...
Yeah, that one is the definition. Like I said earlier, it's right. The definition of Slice of Life.
Domestic Girlfriend, I'm not even going to... It's just too high drama.
Yeah, that's the only reason I'm not putting that on the list. But then the same problem comes in with a couple of other ones. I accidentally got it in the list for some odd reason.
High Score Girl, Roommate is a Cat, and Run with the Wind, I think, are the most pure of the list of pure Slice of Life. The rest of them either have high drama in them or some type of fantasy element. So it's really going to just kind of come down to what do I think is lesser of the other elements pushing into it that would allow it to be more considered a slice of life. Even though Fruit Basket does have like this weird, you know, fantasy thing kind of thrown into it, it's not really the focus ever. It's more about the family and their dynamic and her life, and it's almost like you could take that Zodiac thing out of it and it wouldn't affect it at all. Like the Zodiac aspect they throw in there is really only just an excuse to have all these people kind of bonded somehow. See, I'm even struggling, as much as I love Ascendance of Bookworm, it's like I'm even struggling with that one to call it a slice of life. Even though, like we mentioned earlier, it's hard to really put it in any category besides fantasy and slice of life. And I feel really bad not having A Maiden Just Have a Season, but A Maiden Just Have a Season is just so heavy drama. But it is a slice of life. I'm just going to... That's another one where you just give a done, not touching it anymore.
I think I'm pretty happy with where I'm at as well.
We lined up pretty well, except for the fact that I watched Run with the Wind, so that's obvious why it's not in your list. And you got Hadori Bocchi. Hadori Bocchi was just too comedy for me to put it in a slice of life.
Well, compared to some of the other ones, I mean, it was that Senryu or...
Senryu Girl was another good one.
Cinderella
again,
Girl.
Too heavy comedy.
Yeah, and they're all of them are comedy-ish. I mean...
Okay, so it's obvious which one's top. Obvious which one's second.
Oh, just...
third.
My number five is Hitori Bocchi. Ascendance of the Bookworm is number four for me. Fruits Basket is number three. Roommate is a Cat is number two for me, and High Score Girl is number one for me.
And I got on my fifth is Old Man and Just Have a Season. We've already kind of mentioned that. It's just a really cool coming of age story of blossoming love and finding out who you are and feelings. Sentence of Bookworm, again, solid kind of, it's isekai, but it really, in the essence of slice of life, it really does kind of just focus on their daily lives and her trying to shoot for a focus in her life with what limitations she has. So there really isn't, besides having that slight little magical aspect to it, it doesn't overtake the show.
Yeah. It almost fell
out of place at times until they finally start getting into it.
Yeah. It was really in the background until the latter episodes, which there, even when it became more in the forefront, it wasn't overtaking the show. It was just a consequence of certain aspects involving the fact that she's an isekai, and that technically would throw the whole thing out the window, but yeah, trust me, it's not as bad as it sounds.
And she's like this little girl that's very frail. It's not like she goes there and she's super powerful magician or something like that. Run with the Wind, like I said, it's more heavy in slice of life than actually them doing running, cross-country running.
And so because of that, it makes a lot more heavy in the slice of life for me. It's just a lot about the characters and their lives and their past and stuff like that. Rume is a cat. We've kind of talked about that earlier. A lot of focus of that show is on him as a writer and his relationship with people and, you know, getting out there out in the away from his house or letting people into the house. And then High Score Girl, like we said, is like the epitome of slice of life. It's just about the old 90s arcades and stuff, growing up with that stuff and how kids just kind of had their lives around games and stuff. So, yeah. Definitely. Awesome. So we have High Score Girl, Roommate, and Ascendant Bookworm on both of our lists. That leaves two slots, and we're totally different on the last two. So you have Fruit Basket High, and I have Run with the Wind, so that's going to be between those two. We're both in the same slot. I'll give it to you, Fruit Basket. I love Fruit Basket, so I'm fine with that. And then Run with the Wind. Guarantee Chris would probably agree with me if he watched that one. All right, so we have number five.
It was very, very slice of life-ish. I mean,
yeah. I mean, it's kind of like that basketball one that you're watching. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's not about the sport. It's about the people in the sport. Run with the Wind is number five. Fruit Basket number four. Sinner's Bookworm number three. Roommate is a Cat number two. And High Score Girl is number one. High Score Girl, Extra Stage. All right, romance. Andrew's most hated thing to debate, because I hate romance in anime half the time. Not that I hate romance being in anime, I just don't think it's ever portrayed very well, but we'll see what we can come together with. Because that's my problem. Whenever it comes to romance, it's like, it's either like, you know, it's something like, something that's not really romantic. Like Teasing Master Takagi-san, I don't think it's romantic. It's just cute puppy love. It's crush kind of stuff, but it doesn't get into like romancing relationships and all that kind of stuff. It's just really about them teasing each other.
Honestly, all of these are just none of them. I mean,
I mean, Wise Man's Grandchild actually had them become a couple, which is a rare one out of all of this stuff.
That's true.
The rest of it's just crush stuff or just desires, really. You want to skip it?
We're going to have to. I mean, Fruits Basket is a no-go because it's technically a lot of, yeah, at best crush. And even that is very, very
And she's not really reciprocating any of it.
High Score Girl, that's puppy love. Kaguya-sama, that's more making fun of the tropes, even though, yes, they are in, they do like each other. It's not romancing each other. It's just more making fun of the tropes. Domestic Girlfriend, I wouldn't say that's romance. That's more drama involved around weird situations. Quintessential Quintuplets, that's a harem. And so technically, them.
Astra, there's two technically couples being formed in it, but again, it's not the focus, is their romance. You had maybe one scene that was decently romantic between two of the characters, but that's out of an entire series about space travel. I could pick a bunch of crushing ones with cutesiness into it, but yeah,
that's pretty much what it would romance. Be is Kaguya-sama would win. Senryu and Takagi is probably in the second place and third place, and then maybe we'll give a nod to Fruits Baskets.
Maidens and Savastasian would be up there. I think the club leader and that other guy, I thought that was pretty really cute between them two, and that was about the most romantic aspects that I actually seen. Most of it was kind of just blossoming love. So, sports.
Run with the Wind.
Run with the Wind, Hinamaru Sumo, and Stars Align.
I'm going to probably say Hinamaru would win, and then Run with the Wind would be a given to you, because I despise Stars Align. So.
Yeah, Stars Align is just kind of there because there's nothing else. let's see here. Military, again, how much of this you actually watch, Chris? This will be an easy one. Again, this is kind of similar to the sci-fi mecha one. It's just kind of intermingling stuff from other categories. Let's see. Attack on Titan's out. Sword Online's out. So that does leave me with five. I would put it number 5 as Fairy Gone, number 4 as Revisions, number 3 as Magical Spec Ops, number 2 is Price of Smiles.
You probably better be copying those up there so that you can do your outline.
Do I do that?
I think you usually put it out there for them to see.
Well, good that you catch that, because I probably would be like, crap, what did I choose? And I'd have to re-listen to it. Okay, so number for military, start with Fairy Gone is number 5, Revisions number. And actually, I want to say that for military, yeah, that's fine. I think I constitute military as it can be like this is a military like kind of setting. It's a lot about command. It's a lot about like the form, the chain of command and how they choose to go out to battle and stuff like that. But I think Revisions, even though it technically wasn't a military setup, they built their own military because they didn't have the military. So that's why it's technically in there. But yeah, Fairy Gone is number 5. I had my issues with Fairy Gone, but it was technically an okay show. And it did have some military aspects of it. They were technically part of a group. It was pretty much fairly militaristic. They didn't really want to have military because they had a peace treaty going on. Revisions is number 4. Like I said, they kind of build their own military because they've been transported to the area. And that was a lot of focus for several episodes, was that kind of chain of command and who had the strength and who wanted to control that strength. Magical Spec Ops, Asuka, number 3. Like I mentioned before, it's technically about a show where they use the magical girls to fight these beings that their military cannot fight. And so they're technically under military control. Number 2 is Price of Smiles. Like I said, you technically have two sides of military forces fighting each other and a lot of insight into how to command that. And then number 1 is Vinland Saga. You can make the argument that technically Askeladd's unit group was mercenaries and not necessarily a military group, but they kind of follow the command, so. Why? And they had military groups in there too. Thor's was part of a military. Floki was part of the military. So, yeah, there you go. That's my decision. Mystery and Supernatural. We have pretty much 6. Some pickings this year with certain genres. I can... See, I don't want to put Astra high because it's mystery. And the whole idea of finding the mole. But the other ones are technically mystery and supernatural. Why are you putting stuff on my side?
I'm helping you out.
why would Promised Neverland be below Lord El Melon?
Because obviously that's fate, and you always love fate.
That's technically its strong point, and Promised Neverland has not been in many lists.
There you go. I just made your list for you. Now tell me how wrong I am.
Where's Copcraft?
It's number 6, and you can't have a 6.
I agree with that.
Oh, dang, I'm good. I figured you would have moved the Promised Neverland. I was just joking about the fate thing. But it is technically the stronger mystery.
Yeah, mystery and supernatural is both kind of in that, whereas Promised Neverland... Yeah, I just technically... Promised Neverland has both those aspects, but not so much supernatural. That'll save me the trouble. Number 5, Kimurakusa. Number 4, Astro Lost in Space. Number 3, Boogie Pop and Others. Number 2, The Promised Neverland. And then number 1, Lord El Melway. 2, Case Files. Rail Zeppelin. Grace Note. At least I got over how to pronounce Melway, even though I'm probably pronouncing it wrong. Magical Girl and Magical Boy. Demon Girl Next Door, number 1. Best Magical Girl. Demon Girl harem. Or not harem, but in a relationship. We can ignore Grimm's Note and Pastel Memories, even though they're technically strong magical girl type shows. Well, Grimm's Note is. Pastel can just die on a fire.
Which was Pastel Memories?
It was the one that I watched where it was the girls that worked at that maid cafe, and then something otaku related would start disappearing, and they had to go in there to save it. It had a cool idea. I love the...
It just was horribly executed.
I liked the Is the Order of Rabbit spoof that they did, but most of the spoofs were basically the entire show. I didn't care about anything else. Frozen Maiden was funny, too. But it was really the funny ways they messed with certain properties was the only enjoyment on that show. Data Live. Do you classify Data Live as a magic
world? I do, actually.
I think so. What else do I have left? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So technically, all I'm going to be dropping off is 1, so I'm just probably dropping off Pastel Memories. So there we go. I got mine.
Only mostly as an acknowledgement because of the fact that a couple of these I didn't finish. So Magical Girl Spec Ops is technically my 5, Pastel Memories being my 4, Grimm's Note being my 3, Day-Day Live is my 2, and Demon Girl Next Door is my number 1.
My number 5 is Grimmbelm, 4 is Grimm's Notes, the animation, number 3 is Magical Spec Ops, Asuka, number 2, Day-Day Live, and number 1 is Demon Girl Next Door. I guess the only one they haven't talked about yet is probably Grimm's Notes. The magical girl aspect of that one is that they can... It's based off a mobile game, so they have a gacha system where they can actually summon different, you know, peoples of folktales like Red Riding Hood and Cinderella and all that kind of stuff. And once they've acquired that persona, when they go into battle, they bring out their book and then they call the name of whatever person it is and they become it. So it was a really cool little kind of transformation thing and fight with them. So it was a cool little, even though it's gacha related, it was pretty cool. I said that I would probably play that game if it was over here, just because of how unique that is. All right. So we're both Demon Girl Next Door and both Day-Day Live. Grimm's Note. Oh, whoa, whoa. Grimm's Note's higher, so that would be number 3. Magical Spec Ops, and then I'm not giving you Pastel Memories.
Well, all 3 of them I didn't finish, so.
Like, I'm not putting Pastel Memories in there.
Well, actually, all 4 of them I didn't finish. I didn't finish Grimmbelm. I didn't finish any of the other 3, so. I watched a good portion of Grimm's Notes. I do remember that. Pastel Memories, I think I watched a few episodes of that, but... Either way, I liked them for what I seen, but it wasn't enough to keep going.
So, for those looking for Magical Girl, Magical Boy, our combined list is number 5, Grimmbelm, number 4, Magical Girl Spec Ops Asuka, number 3, Grimm's Note, the animation, number 2, Day Live 3, and number 1, Demon Girl Next Door. I really only highly recommend the first two. Mostly the first one, but if you want to check out the Day Live series, you can try it out. Healing, relaxing, Yashike. Number 1 is Help a Fox Senko-san. If I'm going to give anything for Senko-san, it's going to be Yashike. Let's see. That's all I have. I don't think any of these other ones are classified Yashike. So I have one. I have one Yashike show. Now, I will say... Besides the heavy drama and the risk factor and the suffering that's kind of happening in that show, I felt Ascent of the Bookworm was pretty relaxing. I just loved watching them. I thought those two were so cute, and it was healing. But again, at that point, like I said, anything else that I would put in this list is going to be more the cute girls doing cute things stuff. That doesn't have heavy drama like Wataten or something like that. But even Wataten, I don't think it's classified as Yashike because it has such a ganky character and it's very loud. It's not relaxing to me. And Yashike, I classify as something that's relaxing, soothing, sit down, and just consume kind of thing. So,
well, I have a hard time with my daughter as a demon lord.
That gets pretty heavy from what I understand.
So, take that into consideration. I am definitely not putting Mysteria Friends and Fruits Basket in here. There's no way, shape, or form.
I could do Mysteria Friends.
Remember the battle for the school.
There was two battles. The bird in the library and scrimmage.
My roommate is a cat. I could go with that as a Niyashike.
Besides the heavy later part,
there is some heavy points in there, but yeah, for the most part, it is kind of chill. My cat is just is annoying, and when it really is just a cute cat being a cat. Teasing Master Takagi-san, that show is so freaking adorable. I mean, I can see putting it in the cute girls, but I find it healing, so I love it. And definitely Helpful Fox. Senko-san is the same thing. It's so freaking adorable and fluffy. I mean, yeah, it's chill.
My number two is Miru Tights, and my number one is the Helpful Fox Senko-san. No, I only have one. Like I said, I just don't really see anything else as being the definition of a Yashike last year, which sucks because I think that's a solid... solid genre to actually when they do it right, I guess. All right, again, another one that you will only see on the Otaku Spirit podcast is the cute girls doing cute things, which I'm surprising is this short. Am I missing anything? I don't think so. All the ones I think of are in here, so I think I got everything. Now, specifically for those who don't know who Cute Girls Doing Cute Things, it just has very cute characters that are just doing some fun thing. And it never necessarily has to have a goal. Typically, with the Cute Girls Doing Cute Things, we've made this category because they typically don't have a goal. They're just being cute. They're doing something fun that doesn't really fall into a category, anything specifically. So, we've enjoyed them for such a long time, we decided to give them their own credits. So, people looking for something fun to watch, it's your bag. This might be difficult. This could possibly be difficult. Let's see. So I have in my the list of pick from is Wataten, which is definitely going to be a contender. Indro, which again is another strong contender. Mysteria Friends. I wouldn't really say cute girls. They are cute, but they're not really girls. Helpful Fox Senko-san, which that's pretty much all it's doing is being cute. Hitori Bocchi. How Heavy Are the Dumbbells You Lift. Which again, the problem with Heavy Dumbbells is it is cute girls doing workouts, but there's so much muscle crap in there that ruins it. It got muscle in my cute girls. What the hell?
Well, it is technically the definition of cute girls doing something
with muscly guys. We don't have a cute girls doing cute things with muscly guys section. Demon Girl Next Door. That's a solid one. I thought they were adorable, especially the two of them together was just way too cute. And then Didn't I Say to Make My Billy's Average in Another Life? And Nolan Petta. I think I have my five. What order I want them in is the difficulty.
Yeah, that is a fact. I'm having a hard time remembering how much I loved Wataten. That's the problem.
Oh, Wataten was so adorable.
Yes, I know.
So adorable. And the last episode was amazing. I mean, it was like that Mayane, the little sister, was so adorable. The girl from next door was adorable. The two kids at school with them was adorable. Like the one girl that was like, I'll be your friend.
Hitori Bocchi, I remember both of us really loving that one a lot.
Yeah, but that one pushed more into comedy. More comedy, less cute, I guess. Not that they're not cute. Hitori Bocchi wasn't cute, just less cute.
That's because she's not a lolly.
Right. Age is a thing. That's why I knocked out Mysteria Friends. They're a little too old. You're too old to be a cute girl doing cute things. You have passed the age of two cute girls doing cute things. you must be this height to ride this coaster.
You have moved into Yuri level.
Yeah, you're now in Yuri category. Sorry. Watatan is not Yuri. Too young.
Oh, I don't know. I think this is going to be where I stand. Yeah, I really, really kind of want to move Senko-sun up.
Indro's at the bottom of my list because Indro, I know I had a lot of difficulties with a few episodes. They had some bog down in that
one. And of course, I have it at the top of the list.
I know, that's why I'm pointing it out now. We're like complete opposite in direction here.
No, you got number
one. Oh, I didn't put Helpful Fox Senko-sun in there. Hmm. See, the problem with Helpful Fox Senko-sun is there was only one girl most of the time on the screen. And that's the problem. It's cute girls. They'd mix one in there every now and then, but they'd usually swap them. There's too much guy. Too much guy, not enough girls. Even though I love well, technically that was three, and the neighbors, yeah, so there's four.
I think...
Not enough girls.
I think I'm moving this down.
Senko-sun got an award already, so I'm fine with not having it, but... What are you doing?
I just moved
Hitori. You indecisive?
I moved Hitori up.
Are you being indecisive?
Yes.
Well, I'll start with mine. Mine is number five is Indro. Just, you know, it's basically a bunch of girls trying to be heroes. Mao was absolutely fantastic. Mao basically took over that show for me. But I did like Fifi. Fifi was adorable. Loved less of the characters. I think the only character I didn't really care... I liked her VA or Seiyu, but I didn't really much like the character because it was a one-note character, was the Cartia girl. She was a little bit too much, and her joke was just repetitive. But the rest of it, I really did enjoy. Four is Didn't I Say to Make My Life or Make My Abilities Average Another Life. We had a lot of fun at that one when that one was airing. Just kind of this whole idea of this girl going to another world, asking for average abilities. Averaged it to a legendary dragon, so she's way overpowered still. And just her hiding the fact that she's overpowered because she doesn't want attention was really fun. Demon Girl Next Door. You basically follow a demon girl who is in an area that needs to take down the magical girl because there's a curse on her family that costs them lots of money per month, so they're really poor. The magical girl was like the sweetest girl ever, so it was a lot of fun. Demon Girl, I did that one. Tatori Bochi. Bochi Desu, that's all I have to say. It was absolutely adorable. And then Watatan, like I said, just really cute little sister. The neighbor girl was really cute. I didn't really find the quote-unquote angel to be that interesting. She was very... That was her character, very kind of stone face. Did enjoy, like I said, the last episode was just gorgeous animation and everything. So, it's my list.
I've got, for number five, I've got Didn't I Say to Make My Abilities Average? Number four, I've got Hitori Bochi. I've got Helpful Fox Senko-sun. Just absolutely, like Andrew keeps saying, fluffy, fun, cute, sweet. I just adore it. Then I've got number two is Watatan, and number one, Indro, because Mao-san. Just plain and simple Mao. I, like Andrew said, she is just so freaking adorable. And all the girls, when they go out and do their little quests, their cute quests, and Mao-sun is cute, and it's just a freaking adorable romp.
So the only one different that we have is you have Senko-sun, and I have Demon Girl Next Door?
Yeah.
And they're both in third place. I'll get that Helpful Fox. Like I said, I was... If I had a sixth slot, that's what it would be on there. So we have, for combined, based off of placement, we have number five, Helpful Fox Senko-sun. Number four, Didn't I Say to Make My Abilities Average in the Next Life. Number three, Hitori Bochi Desu. Number two, Indro. And number one, Watatan. An angel flew down upon me. Good stuff. An isekai. You want to stop at this point? Yeah.
Yeah, we can. It'll take us a minute to do the isekai, so.
All right, well, that's number two, part two of our 2019 Best of Anime Deliberations podcast. please stay tuned for number 3, and we'll jump into Isekai next. So thank you all for listening.
お帰り。